Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everyone, and welcome to Onceable episode 102. Tonight we are going to be talking about Once Upon a Time season 6 episode 9 Changelings. I'm Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Laura. Hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
We're winding down from our Thanksgiving break and break off of Onceable, and we got a little carried away by enjoying our week off. So if you want to reach out to us, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Onceable, or comment on this post on hypeable.com and let us know what you're thinking, because we're heading into the winter finale, so we'll have some time off in the coming months. So if there's anything you want to talk to us about during that time, let us know. But for now, we're going to talk about episode 9, Changelings, and let's run down and go through whether this was a thumbs up or a thumbs down for us. And let's start with Karen.
I'll give it a thumbs up. It had a lot of focus on Rumple, but I'm pretty happy with some of the outcomes of Belle saying what she had to say to him. So it made up for that. And we got a little more history on him, which was pretty interesting, and a clue as to what's going on with Emma. And I liked Regina in this episode. So all around, it was pretty solid.
Awesome. And Kristen, what about you?
For me, I'm going to say thumbs sideways. I didn't dislike the episode, and it moved a lot of things forward, as Karen kind of mentioned. But there's just something about it that didn't quite sit right. Maybe it was all of the rumpleness of it. I don't know. Just something that made me not love it. But it was still a solid episode and had a lot going for it. So thumbs sideways.
And Laura, what about you?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I liked it. It moved. The pace was, I thought, pretty good. And despite the fact that I do, like with every fiber of my being, hate the ship Rumpel. That's right, Rumpel shippers, send the hate to me. Hate the ship with every fiber of my being. I did like, to a certain degree, where Belle went with what she had to say, though I still feel the messaging isn't strong enough. So, yeah, thumbs up, even though disliking probably some of the same things that Karen disliked is my feeling.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Kristen and give it a thumbs sideways. I think we got a lot of context for some of Rumple's stuff. It doesn't explain anything away like I kind of think the creators want to do. But I definitely like Belle's reaction, and I enjoyed getting a little bit more of Emma's story, because that was supposed to be the focus of this season, and that went away for a long time, and I think we're working our way back to that. So I'm happy we're heading into the winter finale. I think that the show just has a lot it needs to figure out, and next week looks pretty good, so looking forward to that. Jumping into favorite quotes, I'm gonna let Kristen go first, because I really like this quote.
Okay. Mine comes from Hook. And I love this line specifically, but I also just kind of love that this seemed to come up a lot in this episode. Like it was more than just Hook mentioning this. But the quote is, "I've come to stop you from ruining another one of your son's lives like you did with Bay." But I mean, so many people brought up Bay and like, "I'm going to try and stop you from doing what you did to Bay," or, you know, I think the evil queen was like, you know, "No one's going to believe you after what happened with Bay," and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the obvious comparison, but I kind of like that people are holding him responsible for abandoning his son and not joining him and choosing magic and power over his son. So, yeah, it's a good quote, but a better sentiment, I think.
I love that. I love that the same things that people were referencing that so many times. And I think what it reminded me of, too, is the fact that after Bay died, we all felt like it was going to be such a Rumple turning point. Like, yeah, he totally gets it now. He's lost everything. He knows what it means. And it wasn't like, despite that and despite everything, he still went back to the magic. And I was like, wow. I think for me, that was the moment that I knew we were probably going down a dark road to unredeemability in my eyes, was post the death of Bay. So, yeah, I think it was cool that that got referenced a lot this show.
Yeah, and Laura, while you're on it, why don't you jump into your favorite quote?
My quote wasn't so much a quote as much as it was an exchange between Rumple and Bell, and I think it just explains them, or explains my sort of problem with why I hate Rumple so much. Rumple says, when we met, I told you I was a difficult man to love. But more than that, I think I'm a man no one can love. This son, William, I can start over. Maybe he can love me. And Bell says, not like this. Don't give up, Rumple. I never wanted you to be perfect. I just wanted you to try. And Rumple says, I did, and look what's happened. I've only ever pushed you away. Now I'm afraid all I really have is this magic. And for me, it's like almost this backwards, twisted logic. Like, Rumple still, to me, is like, it's like he's saying, look what's happened. It's not, yeah, look what happened. You made a bad choice, moron. You keep choosing the wrong things. You keep choosing magic and your own selfish interest over everything else. He's almost acting like, well, this bad thing happened to me, so which it forced me into doing that. Or, I tried, but we all know he didn't really try. I think it's a lot of excuses. It's a lot of excuses. And I'm okay with Bell saying to him, don't give up. All I ever wanted you to do is try. But I think he's got to, like, not try for Bell. He has to try for himself. And I just, there's part of me that just feels like Bell is like the abused wife who is going to forgive her husband after he beats her up again because he says he's really sorry and didn't mean it. And I almost feel like there's that kind of wacky, weird manipulation going on in the way Rumple phrases things. And I just thought that whole conversation was a really good example of how he manipulates and phrases things.
Yeah, I agree. And there was, I wrote about this in an article last week. There was this script tease, because Adam likes to give out script teases every week for different scenes of the episode, and it's only usually like one line or whatever. And he posted a line from Rumple, and it was like, this is confessional, not threatening. And I'm like, it's threatening. Everything that comes out of his mouth at this point is threatening. Like, there's no room for confessional Rumple anymore. And this exchange, like, he was not only like verbally threatening, even though, like, yeah, he could have like changed the inflection in his voice, but he was like physically threatening. So the fact that he chose to tweet that out just has driven me crazy for going on 2 weeks now. Like, I've not gotten over it. The fact that he felt the need to actually release something that says that it's not threatening.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would just, I really feel like, I mean, I know the show would like to go on the theme song that everyone is redeemable and everybody doesn't have to be that dark person or whatever. And I think we've absolutely seen that in Regina, which is probably something we can get into eventually more. But I just, you know, Regina had an equally horrific past, and yet she overcomes it. Just because you had a horrific past doesn't mean you have to constantly go down that a dark path, nor is it an excuse for it. It may explain why you make some choices, but it doesn't excuse it. And I feel like with Rumple, he has, you know, people have been there to give him that support, and he has turned his back on it. So I don't think there's a reason to continue to trust him. Yes, could you give him another chance? Yes, but I sure wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him again.
Yeah, and Karen, this feeds into your not so much favorite quote, but favorite scene, I guess, where people are just refusing to trust Rumple any longer.
Yeah, I had trouble picking a favorite quote for this episode because there weren't a whole lot of zingers, and those are the ones I usually gravitate toward, but there was a favorite moment, and this part really stood out to me in this episode, and it was kind of nonverbal, but also just when Belle refuses to tell Rumple his son's name, and he's sort of begging her to, and she just goes, why? And you kind of, because we heard him earlier in the episode saying, like, names have power, and why would I care about this baby's name that I just stole because I don't plan on getting attached to him? Belle is kind of throwing that back in his face, saying, I'm not going to tell you his name because that'll help you find him, but also you're never going to get to know him. Therefore, you'll never get to know his name. You'll never be attached to him. And it was so simple and yet so strong. And I just love that Belle didn't give in to him, because she could have been like, I'll give him this one little piece. Like, he won't get to have his son, but at least he can get have his son's name. And she didn't even go that far. She just flat out refused. And it was a powerful moment for her.
Yeah, I also enjoyed that moment. And I loved the way that they used the power of names in this episode. And it wasn't overdone, but it was there. And I thought it was more meaningful because it wasn't so thrown in your face. My favorite was probably the only zinger of the episode. And it wasn't even a zinger, but it was just, it made me laugh. And it's when the evil queen pops over to see Zelina, and she's like, ooh, look who it is, your evil auntie. Yeah. Just thought that was really funny. But of course, we have to get back to talking about Rumple and Belle. So I kind of want to start off with Rumple and Belle and Storybrooke, because right now the biggest mission is to figure out a way to keep Belle from Rumple long enough so that he does not give her this that magic aging potion, so that he can speed up the progress of her pregnancy and get his hands on his son before Belle has a chance to figure out something else to do in the meantime, which would probably include running away. And since she has that weird cuff bracelet, which looks oddly a lot like the genie bracelet, she has to stay in Storybrooke. But we get these weird dreamscape visions again, and I do not like them. And I am so glad that this child, whose name is Gideon, adorable, is born, because I could not take another trip down Morpheus Lane with the weird,
oh God.
Like the weird. I just do not like. I don't like this with Emma and her parents. I don't like it. The age thing drives me crazy. Like, she's like attached to this like already fully grown 18-year-old. Like, I guess there's some maternal bond that we just can't see or like feel, because it's just weird looking at it, because we didn't get to see that relationship grow. But it's so weird. And I'm glad it's over.
Not to mention that he talks like a really vague fortune cookie.
Yes!
Like, everything says is like, you'll know, Mom. You'll see it. It's right in front of you. And I'm like, will you just tell her what she needs to know already? Like, she's trying to save you from your father. Like, just be helpful, or let's get out of the dream.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, Kristen. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and she had, like, that weird, like, magic trick ribbon that, like, you know, the clown pulls out of his mouth and never ends.
Oh, my gosh. As that was going on, I was like, why are you following that without backup? I mean, like, it did turn out all right, but the whole time I was like, because magical ribbons that just plop themselves on the library floor always land something that's completely positive and happy and non-problematic. I'm like, I'm not saying get a gun. I'm just saying be cautious. Think twice. Phone a friend.
And
And
it came out of a book called, like, How to Defeat the Dark One or something. I'm like, red flag. Red flag.
Hello. Well, what bugs me is it's moments like that that I say make Belle completely unrecognizable from her source material. I mean, Belle, as she was created in the Disney movie, which, let's face it, they're coming out with a live-action movie on this in March, is a very independent, thinking, smart, not incredibly needy person. I have trouble with dumb Belle, which is what I find they make her a lot of the time. It's like, oh, look, another dumb move by Mel. Oh, look, Belle once again thinks too good of all people. Like, it just, they make her so much more naive than I think she should be, and it really bothers me.
I think it's interesting that they keep sending her back to the books. I know that's her thing, but for some reason it just it's been annoying me lately, like, because I think that she can just, she is capable of taking action and not just, you know, falling back into the library. Like, I feel like they think they need to, sort of like what Rumple did in this episode, lock her in a tower. I feel like they're locking her in the library in a lot of scenes, just in this series in general.
That's a great way of putting it too. I think why that's even more noticeable because of the trailers that have come out now for the live action Beauty and the Beast, and it makes me sort of remember the original movie. Like, there's this in the live action trailer, you see her fighting off the wolves. She doesn't sit there whimpering and closing her eyes waiting for the wolves to eat her alive, thinking, well, this is my last moment. No, she's gonna go down fighting, even though she knows she's outnumbered. Or like when Gaston and the townspeople come for the beast, she doesn't sit there and go, no, no, Gaston, you mustn't do that. Oh, no, 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 Gaston, no. She, like, actively tries to stop him. Like, she's a very active person. And yes, she also happens to like to read, but that doesn't mean she locks herself away in the library and is completely antisocial. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and she's had moments of action on the show before. She's gone off with Anna on those adventures, and like she even went after the baby in this episode too. She's not just resigned to the books, and I mean, it's helpful when it's helpful, but I don't think that it should be her main, like, you know, the only thing she has to go to in her bag of tricks at this point. I think that her character needs a lot of work, and they're just not putting any effort into developing her whatsoever, which is just, it's really frustrating because if this relationship is all her character bends on, then it's kind of disappointing. I get that it has to go somewhere for a little while longer, especially where they've taken her now, but I think they need to, like, either circle back and really focus in on advancing her character, or just sort of leave her alone and don't give her any focus, because it's just disappointing. And I feel like we talk about that almost every week. But what do we think of Belle's decision to ultimately give Gideon, which is the name of her new baby boy, away? Because I personally think it was a great choice. And it was the most hurtful choice for her to attack Rumple, but it was incredibly painful. We're kind of mirroring Snow and Charming's decision, where it made more sense for the baby to not have this threat hanging over their head and to go and live a life apart. So I just wanted to know, what did you guys think of her decision?
It's awful and it's sad, but yeah, I also agree that it was hard for her to do, but because it hurt Rumple, and not even because it hurt Rumple, but because it saved Gideon, she knew that she had to do it. And to have the strength to give up your child like that, you know, we never really, like, we kind of did see Snow give away Emma, but we saw it in the past. It had already been complete. We already knew from the very beginning that that had happened. And for me, at least, it detached me a little bit from that emotion that Snow must have gone through. But here in the present, as it was unfolding, not entirely sure that it would work out, I really felt for Belle and I felt horrible for her. But at the same time, she has to think of that child. And I am delighted, I don't know any other word to describe the feeling, that Rumple cannot get his hands on that kid now. And I hope that he never does. I'm sure he's going to try, but I hope Blue can hide him long enough for him to grow up without Rumple's influence on his life.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Where I was okay with it is because Belle's motivation on this is not I don't get along with your father, therefore I'm going to use you as a pawn of revenge and not let you have access. And, like, that's so not her motivation. Like, her motivation is absolutely, I think, rightly, that your father is a horrible monster. If he is around you, he will abuse you in some fashion. I am protecting you from abuse. I mean, there isn't a magical courtland here in, you know, Storybrooke who can only give, you know, supervised magical visitation rights. It doesn't work that way. So I'm good with kind of how she's approaching it. She almost reminds me of those mothers or fathers, as the case may be, who feel that their spouse is somebody who is going to be very physically or sexually abusive to a child, and they'll, like, hide a child or take off with a child because they feel the courts have failed them in some sense, and that they really feel like the child's very life is in danger. And I kind of feel like that's the point where Belle is coming from. So I'm, you know, she doesn't have a lot of options given our scenario here. So I think she's chosen something that makes sense in this context. But at the same time, I question how strong the fairy's magic is that this can work like this. I'm wondering, like, you know, so Blue has romped off with, you know, the kid in possession. Like, I mean, it's fine. It just seemed a little convenient that suddenly the fairy has this kind of amazing magic that I didn't know we had before.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting we're exploring that weird power relationship between fairies and the Dark One. Go ahead, Kristen.
I was just gonna say, I agree with everything you guys have said. Like, this is definitely in Gideon's best interest, and she's not, again, it's not her own reasons for sending him away. It's doing what's best for him, so it definitely falls on the right side. I mean, we've watched Rumpel go through relationship after relationship, from Mila to Bay to Belle to whomever, and nobody ends their relationship with him well. Like, nothing ever works out because he's selfish. So what's to say, we have no proof that even if he got to start fresh with this kid that it would be any different. So I absolutely agree with her, and while it must have sucked to have to send your kid away, it definitely was the right decision.
I also think it's interesting that Emma had to stand there and watch it happen, because, you know, she always knew that Snow gave her up because she wanted to protect her and make sure that she had the best life that she could possibly have without this threat hanging over her. And I didn't think about it until we were just talking now, but the fact that she had to stand there and watch it happen and watch the baby disappear, and then watch the mother fight against, like, vow to fight. I thought that was just, it was a really cool moment for Emma to witness, even though it was painful and terrible and, you know, not the best moment, but a learning experience nonetheless. She should probably go hug her mom now. Rumpel makes a comment before the end of the episode where he goes and destroys his shop in a temper tantrum that I guess we're supposed to feel bad about, but I'm sure none of us did, where he says to Belle, he's like, I would never hurt you. Okay, but he would probably never lay a hand on her, but he has destroyed her already. Like, I just, none of his words are just holding any meaning to me anymore. And I get the feeling that you're all in the same boat as me, but I just wanted to give you a chance to speak to it a little bit more.
I mean, that's the thing with Rumpel, isn't it, though? He is an emotional abuser. He emotionally abuses Belle, and he has for a very long time. So, no, I don't think that he would physically harm her. I think that he does care about her, and that to him is something that is a line he won't cross, which is great. Also, they're not going to necessarily show that on television with Once Upon a Time, but, you know, that doesn't clear him of his other transgressions. Emotional abuse is just as horrific as physical abuse. It just happens in a different way. And I think I kind of want to touch on the fact, too, that he wasn't the one who sped up her pregnancy, because I feel like it's related to this, that Once Upon a Time is once again giving him an out. He didn't really do that, so therefore, like, he didn't technically cross that line. Belle thinks he did, and Belle feels that that is unforgivable, but if she finds out that he really didn't do that, will she forgive him again? And that one window of opportunity that is now open, I just feel like Once Upon a Time needs to close that for this very reason, that yes, he won't physically hurt her, but he has, like you said, Brittany, destroyed her life over years, and they need to end it, like, once and for all, no going back. Even if that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Rumpel's killed off or anything, it needs to be that hard no. Belle will never go back to him ever again, and I feel like because they left that little window open, there's a chance, and that just makes me angry.
Yeah, I definitely... when he said that, clearly he was referencing, like, physically hurting her. That was exactly what they meant in that moment. But considering everything he's put her through and the betrayals, like, the physical pain that would come from him possibly hurting her probably doesn't stack up to anything near what he's already put her through. It's not that this is any, you know, any worse or better. Like, it's not that this is any less painful. Like, the emotional abuse and the other things that he's already done definitely constitute as hurting her. So I don't know where he gets off saying he would never hurt her, because we have a million different instances of proof that, you know, counteract that. So, yeah. Sigh, Rumpel.
It's just so frustrating because, well, let's move into a little bit of Rumpel and the Enchanted Forest, because this is something that drove me just absolutely insane. And I could be forgetting something, which is why I have you guys and listeners to help me. Does Belle remember everything from the Enchanted Forest? She got all of that memory back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think she doesn't.
Yeah, because there was that time where she didn't know who she was, and then she was Lacey, and then there was that whole thing.
Right,
but I'm like,
yeah. So I think all of that's, yeah, I think all that memory is intact. I agree.
Okay. So
I mean, it's a distant, fleeting memory, but I believe she does have those memories, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so she knows all of this stuff. Yes, it's new information to us, but what drives me crazy about Once Upon a Time flashbacks is that they try to make them worth more than they are, and they should, like, they're worth a lot to the audience coming in and seeing them for the first time. They should have been a bigger deal to the people who are on the screen. I get that they use flashbacks to reveal, like, because they come up with something at, like, you know, obviously season 6, episode 9 in, and they're like, oh, this will be a great idea that we can bring up this one untold chapter of his past. And yes, but what you're doing is you're also adding to people's memories who have been on this show for 6 seasons and 9 episodes. So they would have already known this. And the fact that, like, she knows that this guy that she was, like, working for, and during the time that she was falling in love with him, stole a child to try to, like, get his mother back, you know, I was getting so angry at Belle in the Enchanted Forest and happy for Rumpel in the Enchanted Forest, which was a new weird emotion that I haven't felt in a while, because I like the Rumpel of the Enchanted Forest before the romance started, because he was just that pure evil being. And he was having fun, and just the way that he was able to trick Belle into, you know, finding her way into the Unlocked Tower and translating the fairy language. Like, I thought that was pretty, pretty smart on his part. But back to him being awful. I just didn't understand how Belle could not take that information and utilize it now. Do you know what I mean?
I think that it's an unfortunate mechanism of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally see where you're coming from, but it's actually not something I had necessarily thought about, because it's just kind of how the show operates. But I think they probably could have done a better job in making that like a more consistent thread, but given just how they obviously write the episodes and they give us this concept of the week, yeah, I just have a feeling it's something we're going to have to accept.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing is that they didn't, if we had gotten this information, because they've done this, like we've been saying, they've done this so many times. If they made this story become a realization in both timelines, so if Belle was pulling information from this time period, you know, in the current timeline, as well as, you know, we're watching her discover it in the past, because they've successfully done that before, revealed something in the past and it's affecting the future. Like, unfortunately, I'm going to recall something from the underworld, but like we're learning about Hook's past with his father as we're meeting him in the underworld, you know, like those made more sense. So if Belle is slowly remembering the time that Rumpelstiltskin a child because she is now pregnant and thinking about that, fine, I'm fine with that. But to have, I think that this played too much along the lines of you should try to sympathize for Rumpel because he has mom issues. I don't buy that at all. And I think that's where my big problem was, is that because it didn't, the audience is supposed to do all of the work in seeing that it connects to that other story, and it's trying to get us to feel sympathy in a story where there is none. I think I'm more frustrated that it's about Rumpel and that it wasn't really mentioned in the present timeline, except for that one-off quip with the Evil Queen mentioning something about having mommy issues and then, you know, seeing Rumpel trying to defeat the fairy magic. So I think that was more, I guess, more of my issue with it. What did you guys think of the fact that Rumpel's mother was a fairy and is a rogue fairy, which actually is kind of badass that there's a rogue fairy.
Oh my god, I was really into it and I loved her outfit and the actress seemed really cool. I definitely want more, I'm not gonna lie, like not necessarily for Rumpel's sake, but just figuring out her backstory and what happened there. I think you're right that they're trying to use this to make us more sympathetic toward Rumpel, but for me, they crossed that line a long, long, long time ago, and I'm not going back to that. I can still be interested, but I'm not going to be sympathetic just because, you know, his mother abandoned him. So they can do whatever they want, but if they want to bring her back, like, I'm totally into it.
Agreed. I liked her quite a bit. After hearing what we did from the Blue Fairy about how she once was a good fairy and something happened, like, it makes me wonder if there's a reason why she had to abandon Rumpel, and that may be why she steals children. And I also thought it was interesting how they kind of wove that, like, Rumpelstiltskin, the fairy tale figure, steals children. So I loved how they kind of weaved that into his family's story. Like, he's more of a deal maker in our, you know, in the Once Upon a Time world, but that thread of his true fairy tale identity does exist in this, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree. She was such a cool actress. I'm really hoping that we get a little bit more of the Black Fairy, and maybe even just some, like, you know, of her history with the rest of the fairies and what it means that she left and what her job was beforehand. So, like she said, instead of watching children and looking over them, she started stealing them. And I would really like to know a little bit more about her. And I agree with Karen, not for Rumpel's sake, but for the Black Fairy's sake, because she's kind of awesome. Rumpel does have this moment where he does get to ask his mother, you know, you steal babies, but why did you leave me? So, like, right now you're making a life out of taking children when you wouldn't even name the one that you had. And I think that these moments are, like, they're really important, not just for Rumpel, but we had it with Bay and Rumpel, and we had it with Hook and his father when he's looking at the new Liam. And these, like, confrontational moments with their past are just really important, because we have Even Zelina with Cora, like, you know, there's so much of abandonment and dissatisfaction with the life that you have in this, and a lot of our main characters are products of that. And it's just a thread that I thought was, I don't know why I only realized it with Rumple, but a lot of our main characters are just products of abandonment and just being told that they are unworthy and trying to live up to a new identity, which feeds into this theme of the season, I guess, that they're trying to feed us, which is like, you know, who are you if you're not the savior? Who are you if you're not the evil queen? Who are you if you're not the captain of the Jolly Roger? What do you guys think about where we're heading as we go into the winter finale with each of these characters? Sort of, I feel like everyone's at a stalemate and we now have to take action against that stalemate. But I'm just curious what you guys think of the overall theme of this season so far.
It was the theme, or just the idea of the threat of the season being it. There's a clear and distinct enemy this season. I mean, not that there wasn't other times, but I feel like the previous season we're saying, oh, is there just meandering through the underworld? This time, I think it's the enemy is almost themselves. So I feel like that is an interesting threat with it this time. It's Regina. It's Rumple, who are, I guess, our classic enemies, and then eventually we're getting to whatever this unknown mystical force with Emma is, whoever that's going to work. But I do like kind of the vision around that, although I keep looking at this going, we're going to solve this with Regina by just putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I don't know how they're solving it in the other cases, so it's enough to keep me intrigued and still watching, if that's making sense.
We do have one kind of bigger battle brewing as we head into the winter finale, which is the Evil Queen versus Rumple. And as Karen was saying, it's important to note that the Evil Queen was the one responsible for speeding up Belle's pregnancy, and so she sort of drew first blood in the bigger battle, because yes, Rumple told her to go and kill Zelina, but she really took and physical action. So this is something that's coming, whether or not it's going to be like this big messy battle where no one can get what they want remains to be seen. But I do think that these two are not going to resolve their issues so quickly, because they have a lot of them and a lot of magic and manipulation on their sides. So I'm actually kind of interested to see where this goes and get a better sense of what the Evil Queen wants, because I'm still not entirely clear on what her big motivation is besides just destroying lives, which I guess is fine. But she kind of destroyed Snow and David, and she's realizing that that's not enough for her right now.
Yeah, she can't just ruin someone's life. I think she's slowly trying to ruin everyone's life. And yeah. It's just a matter of who's next. Like, all right, Snow and Dave, finally, Snow and Charming, finally we can, you know, check them off the list. And Emma's definitely a big one that she's going to have to jump. Like, that confrontation is definitely something that I think we all have known was coming, and we'll have to, you know, cross our fingers that it doesn't end too badly.
Yeah, and Emma is getting closer and closer to figuring out what this vision is, and she finds the sword. She's in Gold Shop, and she experiences another horribly acted tremor and finds that there's a new angle to her vision, which shows the handle of the sword. And she then goes back to Gold Shop and realizes that that sword that was used to kill her is in there. I think that the props department used all of their sword budget on Excalibur last season, because the sword was like, oh.
Yeah, it was a little bit anticlimactic.
Like, the blade was so bad. I was like, the handle was, like, all right. But, like, it was just such a sad sword.
Yeah. I was kind of, like, trying to look at the hilt and see if it, like, gave us clues as to, like, whose sword this could be. And it fits, for me, it kind of fit into maybe the Agrabah styling, like it was gold and had like extra little curves and stuff on it, and that was about it. Besides that, the sword was kind of scary, and yeah, it was not great at all.
I mean, it's still a little terrifying because it is the one that Emma sees plunging into her abdomen, so I get it. It's a little little threatening.
Yeah.
But Emma does have this moment where she's kind of finally figuring out what being the savior means to her, just as Regina across town is figuring out what being a hero means to her. So it doesn't really have to mean the same thing for everyone. But for Emma, she's realizing that being the savior means fighting for her family, fighting for her friends, and being that person who's willing to make the sacrifice. And Regina's definition of hero is almost the same thing. When she stumbles upon the evil queen trying to kill Zelina, she's willing to push her own safety to the point of, you know, crushing her own heart, and in order to prevent that. And she has a little bit of a different explanation for why she's doing it. She's sort of saying, like, well, this is what a hero does, and I am choosing in this moment to be a hero, but that doesn't mean I have to forgive you. So her big thing is that she's not forgiving Zelina. She will be compassionate and she will, you know, look out for her, but she will never really forgive her for what she's done to Robin. And I'm on her side with that. I think that's actually braver of her to say that than to forgive her fully.
It kind of bothers me. I understand where she's coming from, and I don't fault her for feeling that way at all. But the way that she describes being a hero kind of makes it feel like, I don't know what to equate it to. Like, when you're doing math and you know you've got the right answer, but you don't know how or why you got there. You know, like, she gets it on the surface. She gets what she's supposed to do. Check off all these boxes and I'm a hero. But there's less of that genuine emotion behind it. I think sometimes there is. I love Regina, and I think that she does have a good heart. But, and maybe this will come up later, but I feel like in order to truly be a hero, she's going to have to forgive Zelina. And maybe that's the path she's walking this season. And if so, like, I'm totally down with that. I'm all for character growth, especially when it comes to Regina. And I know we've talked a lot about whether or not Zelina should be forgiven and the terrible things that she did. And I totally am factoring that in as well. But I think for Regina's own sake, if she can forgive her sister despite everything she's done, I think she'll be even better of a hero than she is now.
I definitely agree. And I think that there are probably some things that Zelina could do or say, probably more do than say, that could help Regina to move further down that path. Like, I think there's definitely something coming for them that may be able to like push Zelina back into her better graces. Like, I don't think she'll ever be able to like fully appreciate her and embrace her as much as she would have before. But I think that some action on Zelina's part could go a long way to helping Regina like start to put what she's done behind them both.
I like where Regina is now, where she's at least accepting the fact that she is a hero, and she thinks that being a hero to her right now means X, Y, and Z, but she might have to add a few more letters of the alphabet in order to fully get the definition of our type of hero. I don't necessarily agree that she does need to forgive Zelina. I don't think that that is going to be like that moment where, you know, true love's kiss happens and there's like some sparkles and stuff. I don't think that that is a magical solution to her problem with being a hero. And I also don't think it's necessary, because I think there are some things that you just, I don't know. I'm just really against a lot of Zelina's past actions. So maybe I'll grow with Regina and learn to forgive Zelina as well. But right now I think I'm identifying too much with Regina, and I'm just still so angry at Zelina from like a season and a half ago where she pretended to be Marion. So, all right. Jasmine and Aladdin are here, and they find a lamp, as we saw last week, and then, or 2 weeks ago, and this week they use the lamp and poof, nothing comes out. So Aladdin realizes that if he puts on the cuffs, then he can become the genie. And he does that, and he gets sucked into the lamp. And we won't know anything till next week, because Once Upon a Time does not care about Aladdin and Jasmine's story whatsoever.
Okay. My biggest problem, with this is, why didn't she immediately rub the lamp, bring him back out, and wish to go to Agrabah? Like, there's no reason for them to put this off.
They had to talk about Rumple.
Well, they thought that they were rubbing the lamp to get the genie out, and they were going to make the wish right there and then and leave. That's what the whole point of that scene was. But when they find out there's no genie, Aladdin steps into genie's shoes. Now we're going to put it off another week so that the evil queen can get her hands on the lamp and use it against them. Like, that's really the only reason they didn't do it in that scene. And it makes me a little crazy.
No, I get it. And they should have just brought him right back out, because, I mean, how long does it take for him to change into a cool genie outfit? Like, 30 right. seconds?
Right.
It's magic. Their whole story is bugging me a little, so, I mean, it's fine. They just keep pushing it off and pushing it off and trying to make us care about it all the time. Once upon a time, stop trying to make me care about things I don't care about. Every week. It's really slow moving, and I guess, like, David is just sleeping while Snow goes to work with Jasmine. It's like, okay, you get the night shift because I have to teach. I guess that's just how that works.
Yeah, that whole, like, you're up for an hour, I'm up for an hour thing definitely doesn't seem to be the plan anymore. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that was nice for a couple of days, but now we're going to have to take shifts because it's not going to work. Like, we can't spend all day waking up and falling asleep.
Yeah, because Snow is clearly teaching, because her and Jasmine were talking about grades at the table. I'm like, all right, did you forget your husband's asleep? Like, can't you take a sabbatical for that? Like, there's got to be some sort of paperwork in the school office you could file.
This is storybook. Like, come on, these things happen.
Also, they've gone to school without you for like 4 years. Oh my gosh. All right, but the preview for next week looks so good.
Right.
I'm really excited.
I'm so excited.
I love alternate reality Once Upon a Time. It is where they shine. And so I'm all for this.
I feel like it's getting back to the roots of Once Upon a Time. I feel like it's giving Emma something new to do. She's been looking very pale and gaunt and sad for like a month. And the fact that she can prance around in a dress next week, like, I'm so stupidly excited for that. But also it allows the other characters to sort of react to that kind of thing. And it's, yeah, you're right. The way that they do alternate realities is so cool and interesting. And it allows them to give nods to other stories and that kind of thing, because Once Upon a Time is a giant AU, basically. So when they can do their own spinoff, they tend to make it very interesting. And it's been a long time since I've been this excited about an episode of Once Upon a Time, but next week definitely has my attention.
Yeah, and I like when they are able to work Henry into a story. I've seen pictures of Henry in like full knight armor, so I think it's going to be really cool to see what happens there, and maybe it'll get us also back to Agrabah. Like, I know the Evil Queen takes it over, but maybe at the end of the episode, because we do have to set up next season. I keep saying that because Once Upon a Time is so, like, you know, cut and dry with the splitting the seasons in half. Not so much this year, but yeah, for the winter premiere. So that'll be exciting and kind of looking forward to a break. I want them to leave it on a high note. I think that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited for them to have a really good episode that makes me want to come back in the spring. That's all I'm hoping for out of next week's episode.
I feel like the drama that's going to come from next week's episode isn't going to feel quite so, like, I don't know if it's contrived, but, like, some of the stuff that they come up with that fills the gaps in the season, like, sometimes it just feels like they're creating a problem so that they can solve it in that episode, and that's all we need. Like, we just need to keep going. Whereas this, what's going to happen in next week's episode, like, it's a major problem, and I love it when some simple issue like the genie and a wish can turn everything on its head, and I think that's going to create a lot of really fun problems for them all to try and solve.
Before we go, we do have a little piece of listener feedback. Well, it's not so little. It's quite a long one, but I'm going to read it really quickly. We got an email from Kendra who wrote, "I have been listening to your Once podcast probably since the very beginning and really enjoy it. You ladies have so much fun. I always look for your download, and it gets lonely when we're on a Once break." I'm sorry, we were on a break for a week. "I wanted to make a comment about your most recent podcast in regards to Aladdin talking with Jasmine about the lamp and the genie. You made a comment that you all thought his explanation of the empty lamp was lame." That was me, Brittany. I did that. "It was actually a nod to Robin Williams being free, and actually had nothing to do with Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Can't remember where I read it, but I also heard it on a few other podcasts. I think it was actually a great homage to the late and great Robin Williams." Okay, I'm going to pause right there, because they shouldn't have done that. It's been 2 years, and it was completely out of context. And if people had to work that hard to figure it out, I'm not into it. But I'm glad everyone got a good Robin Williams goodbye out of that scene. I did not.
I didn't even think about, like, that didn't even cross my mind.
Me either.
I'm glad that so many people felt it was a great honor to Robin Williams, because he is the best genie. There's a little bit more. "Love your podcast, despite how much you hate Rumpel. I fell in love with Rumpel the moment he crawled down from his jail ceiling, and still love the bad boy. I've also been a Rumpel fan from the start as well. However, Bell needs to be punched for being super annoying." It's a little harsh, Kendra. "I'm a big Beauty and the Beast fan, though, and still have hope that they will somehow make it work by the end of the series. Until then, Rumpel needs to move on, and they need to figure out how to co-parent. Rumpel has always been super evil, and he's never changed who he is despite trying to be better for Belle. Belle has always known who he was. She needs to move on. He's never going to change, and her trying to force him has only put a huge wedge through them. She either needed to accept him as he is, which would be wrong because he's abusive to the highest level, or just leave him and stop trying to pick fights with him. I love that they went back to the original Rumpelstiltskin and reference that he takes children. Anyhow, you ladies are awesome. Keep up the great work, and I always look forward to your next podcast episode." All right. Well, I'm a little confused on how you feel about Rumpel, because you don't want them together, but I kind of feel like you do want them to be together. Everyone who hates Rumpel and Rumpelstiltskin can come here and enjoy in our commentary week after week. Even if they're not featured on the episode, we find a way to make it happen. Don't worry, we will always talk about how horrible he is here.
Do you remember back in, like, season 3 when they were the most, like, together ship?
Yes,
Yeah,
like
because
Rumbel,
this is the one that was like stable.
Rumbel was stable and amazing, and we loved them week in and week out, and watching him
Right.
like see her and really try to change for her. There was a point at which we loved the ship, and it's really sad that it is where it
I
is.
remember
So.
at one point, I swear I remember this, like arguing that I felt that Rumpel was more redeemable than Regina and explaining why I felt that way. Like, I would never argue that in a million years right now, but like, I'm sure, very sure that I did, like, in episode like 7 or something. Like, nobody go and look up episode 7. I'm just making up that number. But it was like early on. I know I was making that argument. I would never make that argument now, but I definitely did then.
Yeah, it's just sad, but it was, there was a point at which we really loved the
Right.
ship.
Well, and
Just
that's why I started watching the
paper.
show, because it was Robert Carlyle. Like, legitimately, I was like watching it because Robert Carlyle was on the show. That is what got me into it.
I'm really curious. And again, back to why I'll never have a Once Upon a Time interview in my life. I'm just curious how these actors feel about this, or if they're being told how they're supposed to feel about this. You know what I mean? Like, when they go to do a press junket, do they really feel that like Belle still sees something in him, or Rumpel? Like, I'm just really curious what their like unfiltered, un-ABC sponsored opinion is.
I feel like when you're really close to a project too, you tend to see more pros than cons. So, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they felt more positively about it than we do. But also, depending on how much they know about the end game results, that might color their thoughts as well, because clearly we don't know where that's ending up. But if they know, like, okay, Rumpel's definitely going to die, or okay, Rumpel's finally going to see the light, that could change how they feel about it too.
That's true. Like, Emily DeRaven could have already filmed a scene where she just like gets to stab him 150 times and
Yes.
with
Or
his
she's read
dagger.
that scene and knows
Yeah.
it's coming.
Edam and Addie, wow. Did you hear that?
Whoa, you
That's
know
okay.
what?
I called Charming Dave earlier and I was like, that feels
Yeah,
weird.
okay.
I know, I caught that and I was
Okay.
like, Dave.
All right.
No, Dave.
Well, hello
I'm
there.
Brittany, I'm so tired right now that I didn't even notice that you said that wrong until you pointed
I'm like, oh, it is definitely past midnight.
We're dinner.
Adam and Eddie probably just like wrote something up real quick and gave it to them. Just like it probably won't even actually happen in the series, but gives them hope to keep going on. Next week, we'll be back to talk about season 6, episode 10, Wish You Were Here, which is the winter finale. And it'll be our last episode for a while, unless, something awesome happens over the hiatus. Yeah, so we'll be back to talk about an episode we are actually all unanimously excited about. So until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.